We're having computer issues in the back, but kids are dismissed at this time, and we also have two elders that will be off to my left, your right, that if you need prayers this morning, that you will you can go and pray with them this morning. We'll probably be without PowerPoint, sorry. We were trying to see if we could get it up, and it didn't make it. So, but that's okay. For those who don't know me, my name is Tyler Cope. I'm the youth minister, current youth minister here at the moment, future family minister, as we are looking to fill the youth minister role. But this morning I get to fill in for Todd. Yes, he is here, but he had a long week this last week, and so a little bit of crazy week. And for one, congratulations to the Coteau family for Bao and Lauren's marriage this last Friday. Excited to be able to share a little bit this morning. And if you're keeping track of time, don't worry. I've had a lot of coffee and water this morning, so I'll probably have to keep it short. So we'll get you out early for lunch. No. It's been a few years ago, but about, I guess, really 20 years ago, I remember being in high school, and one of our Bible school teachers said, "Hey, Tyler, let's get a few of you guys together. I've got a cabin out on Lake Eufaula, and let's go to the lake." And so my friends and I, we went out to his cabin on the lake, and as we were there, we found this old boat that somehow was still floating, and we were like, "Hey, let's just pull that boat up," and we started floating around in the bay area of Lake Eufaula. And while we were going, we were like, "Hey, we're out pretty far, and most Oklahoma lakes are not super clear, so you can't really see very far, but we're like, hey, we're out pretty far. It's got to be deep out here, right? I mean, can't see anything past your hand. It doesn't matter. But we're like, hey, it's got to be deep." And so as typical teenagers would do, we said, "Hey, let's jump in." And I remember jumping in thinking it was going to be deep and my knees buckling because we only went about waist deep. And you're like, "Oh, what in the world just happened? That did not work out how I had planned." For one, we weren't in a good area to go swimming. Two, it's a little embarrassing when you almost like fall and go face first and everything in knee-deep water or waist-deep water. But there was no depth at this point of the lake. And the other problem was our boat didn't have a motor, and it really didn't have paddles. So we didn't want to go too far out. We thought, oh, we were a good spot. We didn't want to go that far out. So we were just going to have to stay in the shallow. But it was deceiving, this water, because it looked deep in that spot, and because we were far away from the shore, it was deceiving us. I share this story because sometimes we are like that lake. We look like we have depth. We look like our faith is deep and strong. But in reality, we are sometimes very shallow. And that can be for many different reasons. Maybe for one, it's just you just haven't really wanted to go that deep yet. Or another reason is you could be going through a season right now where you just feel far from God. And so your faith is just shallow. And you're just grasping on, hoping it'll last. Maybe there's a lot of chaos in your life right now. And as you look around your life, it's almost like you forget about deepening your faith. Also, if you want to see some chaos, come to our house about 5:45 at night and see 4 under 3. And that's chaos at the moment, at least for us. Some of you, we might need some experience from some of y'all to come help us. But so many different reasons that you might be shallow in your faith at this moment. And then others, you're thinking, hey, I'm not really shallow, and that's okay. I'm glad you're already in that deep end, but we can always continue to grow, in the depth of our faith. But I also know there could be a point where at some point you might feel a little shallow and grasping on, all right, how do I get to go deeper than where I'm at the moment? How do I leave the shallow area and go deep? And so today let's jump in together and add a little more depth to our faith and some ways to help us grow in our faith. This first passage I want us to look at from Titus and kind of be something that kind of build upon. But Titus chapter 1, and I know we'll talk about this in just a second. I know it says elder, but I want you to just think as it's speaking to you. But an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so he can encourage others by the sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Like I said, I know it says elder here, and so some of you are like, hey, I get a skip card here. I get to miss this one. But what if we read it as this applies to each of us? And in a way to live in such a deep faith that we follow these things, right? That we look at being blameless, not quick-tempered, not given into the things of this world, not being violent or pursuing dishonest gain of things that the world can try to pull us into, being holy and disciplined, being trustworthy, being these things where our faith is so deep that we are these things that we are above reproach. Where people looking at us say, man, you are not of this world. Or aliens, as Peter would say. 1 Peter chapter 2, aliens or foreigners. It says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from the sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Man, what a powerful message for us is thinking about going deep and being deep in our faith to the point to where we look up and people say, man, something's different about you. So we live such deep lives in our faith that others around us might even accuse us of doing wrong, but all they can see is the good because it glorifies God. This is how I want us to look. This is how I hope you already are looking. I know for myself, I am definitely a work in progress and need so much help along the way. And as I say these and share these things as we go, I'm thinking, I'm preaching to myself here. And looking at these things and saying, all right, Tyler, how can you get better here? How can you grow deeper in your faith? How can you make time for God in a way that no longer is putting him second or third down the line, but saying, I'm going to fully trust in him. So the first one, just looking at of how do we go deeper in our faith? And we're going to look at five different things. The first one being the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. One thing I want to highlight here is just you can continue to see the passages that we've read are just about equipped for the good work, being where people can see, and that we are built in a way, that we have been filled in a way, that we're doing the work of God, that they're seeing God in us. Being in God's word is so important for us as we grow in our faith. We see in this passage that the word of God is God-breathed. Right? It helps teach, rebuke, correct, train, and equips us for every good work. We must be in the word of God. Which, if this is your first or one of your earliest Sundays here at Park Avenue, you might wonder, all right, how much are they all about scripture? And we take it very seriously. Our covenant statement for this year is your word is truth. And being in the word, to being in the truth of God. On Wednesday nights, we have small groups, many small groups that are meeting that are all, and not just on Wednesday night, but throughout the week, that are all reading through God's word in a year. And each being able to spend time discussing what God's word is saying to them and is truly helping them grow in their faith. Because they're taking it in and they're processing and they're talking about it. And they're letting God's word be an influence in their life. How important it is to be in his word. And the more that we are, the more impact it has on us because we're in his truth. There's one thing that I know and you know as well is that we can't just read something and say, oh, I've got it now. And then just forget about it later. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Or James chapter 1, James says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The more that we spend time in God's word, the more that we make it a priority, his word, we start to live it out. Because it becomes part of who we are. We don't just read it and say, oh, that was good. Alyssa and I right now are going through a program and we're reading so many pages of different books each day. And as we're reading through a couple of the books, I'm like, okay, that was good. I'm not thinking about it later. Her and I have talked a little bit about it, and many times we'll say, oh man, this is some good advice. Or she'll share some stories from the book that she's reading, and then we move on to the next chapter, and we're not really thinking, oh, how is it impacting our life? But that's not how we read the Word of God. We've got to actually start applying it to our lives. And for those reading through the Bible this year, if we just read it because we are told to, or read it just to check that little box on your Bible reading app to say, oh, I did it, which sometimes that can be reason just to get in the word, which is, hey, we're in the word. But if we don't actually start living it out, what does it even matter? If we don't actually start letting those words take hold in our life, then what's the point? We got to let those words start to grow in us, and they'll help us to grow deeper as we start to live out his word. It grows our faith. Continues to help us grow closer to him and help us to go deeper. Deeper with those that we know and people that we love. Point number two is just our prayer life. To go deeper in our faith, we've got to be praying, not only in the word, but in our prayer life. Paul mentions in Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. But we will, and then also in Acts chapter 6, Luke mentions, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. They both, one says, pray without ceasing. The other says, continually to be in prayer. I can just tell you right now, I struggle with that part. Pray without ceasing. I don't know, maybe that's not exactly what he's saying, but he's wanting us to remember how important prayer is. It's not just something that we do when things are going bad, or for when we talk about with our students when they pray, sometimes it's right before a test that they didn't study for. God, help me here. Or I'm nervous about getting up in front of Park Avenue and, God, I really need your words. It's not just for those times. It's for not just for the good times either, but it's throughout our day. It's to continue a conversation with God, to share the good, the bad, our struggles, our concerns, to lift up praise, the randomness that's happening in our life. And I think that's where he's saying of pray without ceasing is just sharing with him. Because as we grow in our faith and we strengthen our prayer life, it's not just about talking to God. It's about building that relationship with him, because God wants that relationship with us. And having a relationship with him only helps grow our faith. I have some friends that we have been friends for many years, some since we were birth. There was three of us that grew up together, Russ and Andrew. And then a couple others were added along the way, Tanner and Kyle. And we, if you told us when we were younger how close we were super close. And with all of them, I could call them today, and it's just, it's like picking up like where we left off. And maybe you have friends like that. You have friends that you could call right now, and you know they're going to answer because they love you, they care about you. But there are also these friends that you don't talk to real regularly. And they're not ones that you have made in your circle here and now. And my friends that I grew up with that I still care about and I love, and there are parts about their life right now that I don't know a whole lot about. Right? I don't have that same relationship that we had when we were growing up, or that when we were in college or in our younger days, because all of us, our life, we're in different stages. We've changed, and we have moved away from each other, and we're not calling each other all the time. We're not checking in. And so we still care about each other, but there's a lot we're missing. There's a lot of this relationship aspect that that we're missing in it all. But then you have those people that you're really close to that you talk to all the time, and that you know about. You know their struggles. You know what they're going through. It's a different relationship, because they're sharing even the randomness things of, hey, here's what happened today. Can you believe that? Alyssa has some friends that they're constantly doing Marco Polo. And it's funny, every time I walk in on some conversations that she's playing, I'm like, you're going to have to share that story later, because I only heard about that much of it, but that seems funny. And the different things, because they're sharing and they're constantly keeping in communication, and they share messages and conversations with each other every day, because they want to hold on to those relationships. And that is what our prayer life should be about, is holding on to that relationship with God, that we're talking to him about every aspect of our day. Continually to be in prayer with him, because he wants that relationship. And it leads us to other relationships, just the relationships with other people, our relationships with leaders and mentors, to help us grow in our faith. Relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ are so important, with other believers. I have so many people in my life that continue to influence me. As we're thinking about point three, is just the relationships of other believers. I have a close friend of mine that I know when I am struggling with ministry, with life, that he is just a call away. He's heard many of my complaints over the years. And I also know when I call him, he's not just going to give me the answer I'm hoping for. He's going to speak truth into my life because he is another believer and he's one who wants to make sure that I'm walking the way that I need to go. He doesn't just say what I want to hear, which I wish he would. Hey, this is what I want you to say. And he's like, well, that's not what you need to hear right now. And his wife is that I've grown close to both of them. I've known them for 20 plus years that she will do the same. And many times, almost like a hit to the face, like, Tyler, wake up. You need to see this. Understand this. To help me on my journey. So let's see what Scripture says about relationships and being mentors and leading other people. In Titus chapter 2, it says, similarly, I stumble all over the words, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them as an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Paul is saying here that these relationships are so important, and the relationships with the younger generation, building them up, leading them in a way. And my friend, he's older than I am, and that's what he's been doing. He was our youth intern when I was in middle school, and he has continued to have that relationship of saying, hey, I'm going to speak truth into your life. So we should lead in a way that leads people in the right way. And it helps us grow. It helps others grow in their faith. It helps us grow in our faith. And maybe you're not in that point right now. You're pretty shallow and you need someone to feed into you, to be that. So seek out those relationships of those people who say, hey, I want to be someone you can count on. I want to be someone that helps mentor you and lead you in the right way. But here's what I also want you to hear. It goes back to the relationship aspect. And as we talked about with the relationship with God, it's hard to have an impact on people if you don't first try to have a relationship with them. I've had a lot of people give me a lot of advice. Probably needed advice. But the ones that stick are the ones of people who have invested in me. And the people who have continued to pour in my life. That's one thing on Sunday nights. We have anywhere from 10 to 12 adults that come to our youth group, Connect, on Sunday nights. And these leaders ranging from, I think, 25, 26 to, I'm not even going to go how high. We'll just say older adults. Invest in our students each week. They make it a priority to be there, and they are there to invest in them. And not just to give them advice, but they're there each week going to games. They're also showing up asking about their life and what is going on and seeing them in other places than just at youth group. Because they want to speak truth into their life. They want to help them grow in their faith. And I also know, I'm watching them, that they have grown deeper in their faith because of those relationships. But let's continue to see how important relationships are with other believers, even people our own age, people that we can have that mutual respect with. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Or Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Or along the same line, Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need relationships with other people, with other believers in Christ. It's so important to, as we continue to grow in our faith, to go deeper, go in the deep end, that when we have other people there, we can go farther. It also helps us to make sure we have the right people surrounding us, the right people speaking truth in our life, the right people having an influence on us, and not the wrong. Because it can be very easy to let social media or the things that we watch on TV or the messages that we hear out and about in our culture to be the loudest voice. But when we surround ourselves with strong relationships with other believers that are heading in the same direction, man, it is so important, and the impact that it has on our life and on their life, and it helps us to grow deeper. Don't worry, we're on the downhill slide. We're almost there. The fourth one, just how we love other people. We grow in our faith as we love other people. John chapter 15 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you may ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, is to love each other." First part of just seeing this passage of helping us grow in our faith is just how great God's love is for you and I. And being reminded of that, that alone can give us the motivation to grow in our faith with him. Just hearing those words, knowing how much he cares and loves us. But he doesn't just leave it there, which I wish he would. But he says we must love others like he has loved us. If you're like me, you look at those words and you say, this just got no fun anymore. This is not fun. This has become work now. This is harder. I just want to accept the love. It can definitely sometimes be a struggle to love others. Especially when I read the next passage that we're going to read in just a second, but I see how often I fail, but how important love is. And the way it shows others we are different from the rest of this world, that our faith is in something greater than this world, that we truly live out our deep faith. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." We hear that verse a lot at weddings, but it's also just in everyday life. We show love to others by the spirits that produce fruit, the spirit that produced fruit in us, that we live it out, being patient, being kind. I could single each one of these out and share how I struggle with each one, and I'm trying to get better. Especially as I look at my own marriage, I can get highlighted really quickly. But even yesterday, I showed some shallowness here. Because of how I treated someone on the Katy Trail, the bike trail. Someone passed by and kind of startled me and said some things, and I was like, "Oh, you're supposed to be over here." And I said some words in a way Alyssa just looked at me and was like, "You didn't need to go there." I didn't say anything bad, but I was just like, "He's supposed to be doing this. He's not. He almost hit us." But I was impatient and unkind with the person. And hopefully he was riding fast enough that he didn't hear those words. But if you were the bike rider, I'm going to apologize now. I'm sorry. But I'm also thankful that Alyssa helped point that out. At the time, I was not thankful. But now I'm looking at it, and I said, yeah, caught that one. Because I didn't want to see it in the moment. I was like, I wanted to be right. But I can tell you right now that if he heard what I said, that he would say, that person's not a believer. That person was rude. That person was unkind. That person, or if he knew I was a believer, he might say, I don't want any of that. And it makes me sad that was an example, a representation that I had yesterday. And shows I continue to need to grow in my faith. Continue to let Jesus be in control of my life and not let myself have its way. But learn to love people in a way that is not in a shallow way. And then the last part, last one, you need to seek Jesus. You might say, well, Tyler, all of these kind of are tied into that. And yes, it is. And this is the most important part, because sometimes I feel like when we have made a journey to commit our life to Christ, sometimes we stop there because we're like, oh, we've gone far enough. We haven't. We have to continue to seek him. And all of these, I hope, have added part of that, but the most important is that we seek him each day. And we continue to grow in him and seeking Jesus and seeking God. Hebrews chapter 11 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And also in Titus chapter 2, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We seek him. And when we seek God and we seek Jesus, we no longer have these worldly passions. We are now seen as his people. We're now considered foreigners in this world. So my prayer for each of us is that we continue to go deeper. We continue to say, hey, I am in the shallow end and I need to go farther out. I need to go deeper in my faith. I no longer need to be shallow. I need to fully seek Jesus. And when you think you've arrived, keep going deeper. Continue to seek him in all we do. Seek his wisdom, seek his peace, seek his joy. We can find all things as we seek him more and more. And the best part is, as we do these things, and as we leave the shallow end, we just grow in our faith. And people around us see Jesus in you and I. I want to close this in prayer. God, we thank you. Thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, especially for me, but for those others in this room that they struggle with going deep. They struggle deepening their faith and having depth in their faith, Lord. I just pray you give us the courage and the ability to continue to grow in our faith in you, to continue our relationship with you as it comes to our being in your word and in our prayer life. But Lord, also as it deals with our relationships and the love for other people, Lord, it's just as we seek you. Lord, we want people to know that we are yours. And so, Lord, as people see us, we want them to see Jesus. And so, Lord, make us more like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together.